This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Gaze podcast. You can hear us live on Joy 94.9 Saturday afternoon from noon via the live stream at joy.org.au/listen live. Or tune your wireless in Melbourne to 94.9 FM.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, nail it, grade it, change it, point it to me, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick, rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, flip it, drag it, drop it, zip and zip it, lock it, fill it, call it, find it, view it, code it, jam and lock it.
Good afternoon, this is TechnoGaze here on Joy 94.9, the show where we gaze into the world of consumer electronics, gadgets and technology. Joining me in the Enterprise here today
on the battle bridge
my number one Michael, hello.
I've wanted to be your number one for a while.
Purely in a Star Trek way, right?
Yes, Captain. What else?
Make it so.
Again.
The other giggling that's occurring in the studio right now is, of course, Donna. Hello, Donna.
Hello, Mark.
Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's rather good to be back. And we're in a different studio and there's windows and a view and it's just
sunlight.
Fabulous.
Blue sky.
Blue skies. Hang on. It's spring officially now, isn't it?
It is. It's sprung.
Spring hath sprung.
It's not just a holodeck.
The grass is riz.
No, wait. This is a holodeck episode? I'm going home now.
Damn. But there's some excellent topics we'll be talking about in a few moments. You don't want to miss that, right?
True, true.
And also in the studio, we also have Raina.
Hi.
Keep calm and
respawn.
Respawn
is the fact of the day on my t-shirt.
That's the t-shirt.
Awesome. I assume that's a computing term.
No, it's a game term. Oh, well, yeah, like you can play games on computers, I hear.
Here I was thinking Unix processors.
Ah.
You could also do that.
Yeah. Mm. Mm. There's sysadmins rolling over in their coffins right now. Oh, wait, what? No.
What?
It's awful.
What, where they go during the daylight hours?
No. I was thinking of IT crowd, okay? You know, the goth guy from the back room who is a sysadmin.
That's
remember
right.
Him?
Richard or Redmond
I assume
Edmund
he's some
something.
He must be, like, he has a coffin, I'm sure. Anyway. That was an awful, awful segue. What are we talking about today? We are talking about
many things.
Many things, including Freeview Plus. So Freeview is the collaboration between all the free-to-air TV stations.
Yep.
And they have very sort of quietly released a new feature to Freeview, which is called Freeview Plus.
Yes, unless you are a regular SBS watcher.
Yes.
Because SBS has been doing the same thing for a little while as well. It's pretty exciting.
Amazing new features for watching TV free-to-air. Ned Kelly will be joining us in the studio in a few moments, or at least an inanimate version of his head.
It's not a Ouija board.
No.
It's something else.
It is a 3D printed head of Ned Kelly.
Although, more excitingly, the person who brought him along,
yes,
Paul Mignoni from the University of Melbourne, is joining us to talk all things printing.
Yes, because they've got a 3D printing showcase coming up very soon.
Pretty excited.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Apple rumour mill is in full swing as always. Well, not as always, but as
more as... You can tell it's spring in Australia because people are talking about new handsets.
Yes.
We're talking about fruit. Apple.
Apple, not blackberries. For the sake of equal opportunity, there's also some Samsung new products to talk through as well. So,
I'm sure I can't think of any reason why I would schedule a launch event at the same time as Apple if I was Samsung.
So we'll talk a bit about that later on. And now Grindr is a social networking dating app for homosexual men. And it has been in the news this week with some security concerns.
Yes.
Particularly around location.
Exactly. Mm. And I've conducted some extensive research.
Yes. You might have even, if you're a Grindr user yourself, you might have actually seen the update from the Grindr people when you open your app.
Michael, was it qualitative or quantitative research?
Can't it be both?
We can do qual and quant, yes.
From the talk that we had earlier in the week, I think it was a bit of both, wasn't it?
Yes.
Gentlemen.
Mm. I have pages of documents.
A big report?
Big report.
Excellent. Now, we should... move on. If you'd like to get in contact with us in the studio, you can do so by texting us 0427JOY949. You can call us 1300JOY949. You can email us on air at joy.org.au. You can tweet us at technogaze, TECHNOGAZE.
Mm-mm.
It is already 9 minutes past the hour, so we really should start get moving, shouldn't we? Freeview Plus.
Yes, this is the commercial television networks trying to get another few years out of the television. Because it's dead.
Ooh.
It's dead, apparently.
It's dead.
Here's what they're trying to do, right, is the great dream of television is to spend more time, capturing that market that seems to really love the whole interactivity of watching things on the internet at your leisure and whenever you want. So Freeview Plus is a way for broadcasters to send web pages and other interactive elements along with the broadcast.
Yes. Mm.
And the way that Freeview Plus is starting out with it is to do it as catch-up TV. So you can press the magic button now on your remote, which I think is the red button,
mm-hmm.
or you can use the green button to get the guide, and it's a new interactive TV guide, so more like the kind that you might get on Ice TV or something.
Now, it's not on every internet-capable TV, is it?
No, it is on a list of... If you were to use your favourite search engine to go and look for Freeview Plus, and you will come across eventually a list of TVs that do have it. If you have a recently produced TV or if you have a recently produced PVR that gets software updates, chances are very good that a software update is on its way to support it for you.
Mm. So it's really in response to the likes of, say, Foxtel or other content providers, offering these types of services to be able to catch up on TV and, have other interactive content.
Right.
But it's via broadcast TV. So.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about this. And is it David Gingell from Nine? I can't remember his first name. He was saying how a lot of people after 8:30, now 8:30, remember, used to be your prime time. Like that's, that was when you had your primo TV on or your movies or whatever.
Mm.
He was saying that that's now the time when people go, oh, great, I've caught up with, sort of game shows and news shows and stuff like that. And then they'll start watching things that they recorded from before. They're not watching that premium television anymore.
Right.
So they're like, oh, well, okay.
And I guess... we've had the ability on smart TVs to catch up on TV. So there's ABC iView, there's the SBS service as well. But this is putting everything in one place. So you don't have to launch different applications to watch different shows. You can see it all together.
My current way of doing that is I've got another computer on next to my TV.
Right.
That I have to swap over to and then use a trackpad that I've got over there in the corner somewhere to try and browse to the catch-up TV website. And you've got to pick the right one and all that sort of... It's actually quite annoying. To be able to do that from your remote control immediately is kind of cool.
Look, with that said, I've used a couple of smart TVs in the past and I've got to say some of them are really great and the experience is pretty good and some of them are just hideous. They're super slow, navigating...
That's mine, slow.
Yeah, I think people have got comfortable enough now with their tablets and stuff using that as a second screen or using that as a controller for their TV that maybe they aren't... Mm. It could be a little bit too late, I think.
Yeah, it's sort of the connect... And often Apple sort of looked to try and solve this problem of the TV, right? Because they solved it with the phone. They made the phone really usable and really sort of, bring everything together on the phone, whereas the TV is still that. It's very disparate. You can watch media over on your on your computer and you can watch media on your TV as well, but it's a very much disconnected.
It is kind of interesting. I've had a Myth TV for a long, long time, of course, the open source TV widgety thing, and recently got an Apple TV, and have a Samsung thing, and it has apps on it. So I've had the SBS app and the iView app, and I've tried some of the others.
Yep.
So is this like Freeview is kind of bringing all of that together in one place to try and make that experience more seamless?
Yeah, and I would imagine if you're a provider of TV, you would find it a bit easier to just update one HBB compatible web page to transmit to TVs than doing an app for Apple and an app for this and an app app for that and an app for the other thing,
exactly.
And your tablets and blah. Yeah.
And HBB TV is this new standard that allows you to overlay a web image on top of your normal broadcast.
That's right. It's been in use in Germany for some time, and that's what this Freeview Plus thing is based on. So
I can't say I'm particularly excited about the idea of using my TV remote, because it is the worst user interface in the world for trying to navigate around things, especially if you're trying to search and, you know, type letter by letter like your...
Ty,
who was on the show last week... Yes. We happen to know, because we checked it out, that he has a TV that you can gesture at, like the Kinect.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Assuming, again, it works.
Yeah, and you don't mind sticking your hand in the air for 5 minutes going, TV, 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 TV.
So there is a barrier to make sure it is an accessible mechanism, I guess, isn't it?
I would much rather use my smartphone or something like that.
Yeah, there needs to be a keyboard function at least or something.
My goodness.
I've seen some remotes that have, you flip them over and there's a keyboard on the back.
I'm looking for voice recognition. Television, show me my favourite show.
Well, that is coming soon as well.
Yes, Donna.
Million Dollar Minute coming. Coming right up.
Is that your public favourite show or your private favourite show?
Private, please.
All right.
It is 14 minutes past 12 here on Technogaze on Joy 94.9. We're covering some of the latest in technology, gadgets and consumer electronics. We'll be back with more in a few moments. Technogaze. This is Joy 94.9. You're listening to Technogaze here, where we talk about tech. We talk about Ned Kelly's head.
That's right.
I have Ned Kelly's head in my hand right now. I'm amazed by this.
Is it really the real deal, Mark?
It looks real. So it doesn't feel like a skull, but then I don't really know what a skull feels like, I guess.
Where did you get it from?
That's a very good question. So, Paul Mignoni, joins us here in the studio. He is from the University of Melbourne, and he is here to talk about 3D printing. And in particular, a showcase. Welcome, Paul.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, I was about to call it Paul Kelly's head. I don't know why I've got Paul Kelly in my...
From little things, big things grow.
Yeah, no.
Like his head.
Ned Kelly's head, it's a 3D printed version of Ned Kelly's head.
That's correct.
Why has this been done? What's the reasoning behind this?
Okay, so this was done in collaboration with the Harry Bookseller and... Anthropology Museum at the University of Melbourne. And basically what they did is, back in the day when he was hanged, they had these original death masks where they took a plaster cast of his head.
Yes.
And they did it for, you know, historical reasons then. And then what they've done is they basically used that head to make the death mask, to make a cast of Ned Kelly's head. And then they did a 3D scan of it and then reconstructed it to have it 3D printed.
Wow. So if you're following us on Twitter, we've actually posted a photo of this head. It looks
It's a pretty iconic bit of Australian imagery, that one. And so I guess some people would recognise it. But yes, it's a fully plasticised, sterilised, standardised, scientific Ned Kelly head.
And completely food safe.
Right.
Oh, you know, there's a certain convenience chain that is having their bring your own cup for your icy slushy drink promotion coming up soon. I dare you to go in there with Ned Kelly's head and a big straw and
fill her up.
It would certainly be quite the novelty item, that's for sure. I will further add that the idea of printing out Ned Kelly's head goes to a larger picture, in the sense that we've also been doing some collaborative work with the history department at the University of Melbourne. So we're looking at 3D printing to essentially reprint ancient artifacts.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of our archaeological researchers, when they go overseas to study artifacts, they can't repatriate them back to Australia.
Right.
So the idea is to scan those artifacts and to then reprint them back at home, so they can continue their research or for further education and teaching.
Absolutely. Very interesting sort of use of the 3D printing technology. I mean, it's probably a problem to bring stuff around, particularly of cultural value or
if it's quite delicate, you know, you don't want to be stuffing around with it too much, but maybe you just really want to dig inside and see what's there, right?
Mm.
And even you remove the whole logistics out of the operation, because, you know, you could take a plaster cast and make your own mold, but then you've got to ship it and send it, you know, wherever you're sending. This way you can just send a file and somebody can print it locally.
Hey, so to get back to the whole Star Trek theme, this is kind of like a transporter, except it's super slow, right? And you can only have plastic so far.
It's maybe a replicator. Earl Grey, please.
One step at a time.
Well, this is the thing. Like, it is almost the march forward to finding a, finding us in a world where we can just ask for the thing that we want and it gets made then and there for us, right? Well, that's what 3D printing really is.
Well, it goes to a bigger question of retail as well. I mean, there's an argument now saying that the future of retail could be that people just supply material, but then again, you become your own retailer, essentially. So you just buy the material and you print what you want.
Or if there are enough people around in your neighbourhood who have a printer, maybe you could do something like that. And Donna brought in a really cool link to talk about called 3D Hubs, which is where if you know somebody, or you don't have to know them, but if there is somebody in your neighbourhood who has a 3D printer and you would like something printed, you know, it makes that sort of peer-to-peer connection.
Definitely. Now, you've got a few other, Paul, items in front of you, which one of which is a DNA-printed...
Helix.
Helix.
Sure. So what I have in front of me is a 3D-printed version of a very high-fidelity, very highly detailed double helix model.
Wow.
It was done by Dr. Mike Kuiper from the Victorian Life Science Computation Initiative, and basically he's designed this very high-end... a double helix model showing all the T, A, G, and C cells.
Right.
And it's basically been designed for education purposes, both for secondary and tertiary education, to help students understand all the compounds that make the pairs.
It's actually a real life, like it's right there in front of you. You can, it just stands there on the table and you can use it. It's not like it's, you have to buy it or anything like that. It's just a 3D printed model, right?
Absolutely. And so, and it's actually, it's all been stuck together, but you can actually pull it apart and actually, it's like a 3D puzzle, essentially. Yeah. So that's how it's been designed.
Now, there's one other item that you've gotten, which is a really interesting item. Can you tell us about this? It looks like a tree almost.
Okay.
An upside down tree, perhaps.
You're half right. It is a tree, but it's a bronchial tree. So basically, the University of Melbourne, in collaboration with the Royal Melbourne Hospital, they basically took a CT scan of an adult human's bronchial tree, which is the area which connects the lungs.
Yep.
And what they've done is they've basically isolated a 3D model and printed it out. And the objective of it is to actually use it for predictive surgery. So they would 3D print the copy out, and actually train and get ready on the actual 3D printed part for the surgery before going in and doing the real thing.
So how common is this? Is this something that's happening more and more?
Yes, it is. It is something that's it is one of the newer methods that they're starting to trial, and it is something that we're going to see more of in the future.
Airline pilots have used simulators for years to train, so I assume the same thing's going to be used in medicine to train doctors.
That's the way it looks like it's heading towards. Yes.
We actually talked on the show once about a project at Monash where they're printing, I think it was Monash.
Yeah, when they're printing
printing whole bits of organs and stuff so that they could send them to medical schools for students to practice on.
Well, what an amazing use of the technology, right? So, like, to be able to practice before, like, to put the parent's mind at ease or the person who is actually being operated on to have some sort of, you know, you could look out for all those little things that could potentially, bring you unstuck during the procedure.
Fewer mysteries and surprises, surely. I mean, that's kind of what you don't want if you're a surgeon, I imagine, is a surprise.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think the ultimate objective is risk reduction. And I think it's actually a very low cost version approach to reducing risk.
Yeah.
Now, there's loads going on, obviously, around 3D printing at the moment. And if you are in Melbourne, then I guess you're in luck because there's some good stuff coming up, isn't there, Paul?
Yeah, so next week on Friday, September 12th and Saturday, September 13th, we have the 3D printing showcase.
Right.
And it's basically going to be a two-day conference where academics, general public, companies come together to share their ideas and to show what the latest advances behind the technology.
Yep.
You know, it's a free event, family are welcome and friends, and there'll be a sausage sizzle on both days. So
we love a good sausage sizzle.
Yeah, so day one will be more of a research education, day two will be general public, and there's the printer car challenge. So the printer car challenge is secondary school students have been designing and 3D printing their own cars and are going to be racing on the day.
Wow.
Fantastic. An entire car.
Oh, it's a small model.
Oh, right. Sorry. I was thinking like something that they could sit in.
No, not like a full-scale car, but that could be a bit difficult.
But still, like that's remote control cars on like steroids, right? Like that's amazing. You print your own.
Yeah, I think it's a really really interesting idea, and I think especially you know there's not as much inspiration to be an engineer these days with the downturn. So giving students an opportunity to be an engineer somewhat would be, I think we should take those opportunities.
Are you going to combine two of my favourite things, 3D printed sausages for the sausage sizzle?
Not next week.
But we can. Because then you could do personalised shapes.
My goodness.
We could. I just don't think we'll have it ready by next week.
We have talked about 3D printed pizza here before, haven't we?
Extruded cheese.
Extruded cheese product. Extruded hot cheese.
Why not continue that on to the next level and extruded sausage meat?
Why not? You can just make all kinds of things with that.
Isn't a sausage actually already 3D
extruded?
Printed?
Yeah, like, I like it.
With the largest nozzle.
Well, they're certainly doing some really good stuff in with food. Right. The NASA have funded a project to 3D print long life food for deep space exploration missions.
Right.
So they've started to look at printing out powdered food with high nutrients that can last about 15 years shelf life.
Wow. Right. So just combine it with a bit of water or something and print it? Or
Yeah, it's still, results are still coming. Oh, sorry. It's all still coming. It's a bit sketchy, but it looks like it's designed for long shelf life and stuff like that.
So if we look forward 50 years into the future, is there going to be an aspect of our life that's not touched by 3D printing?
Probably your soul.
Now, that will be digitized and downloaded. That's fine.
Possibly. But other than that, I think it's certainly becoming more and more integrated in a lot of everyday items. And as the technology improves, I can't see why it won't be further integrated.
And Star Trek Replicator, is that something that's likely to happen, or is it a little bit too fanciful?
That's a long way away. I don't know how to answer. I guess if anything, once upon a time things were once impossible, you know. And as technology and ideas come forward, they tend to become more and more possible. We've seen that with electricity. We've seen that with cars. Certain types of renewable energy. It was once impossible, but over time and investment in R&D, they tend to happen.
Yeah, it'll be good when it does.
Yes. Now, so the 3D printing showcase, it's by Melbourne University. It's up on the Parkville campus.
At the Parkville campus, specifically at the Eastern Resource Centre, which is the library there.
Okay, and it's on both Saturday and Sunday next week.
Saturday and Sunday next week.
From 8:30 till 4, I believe.
That's right.
And sausage sizzle as well.
Oh boy!
I think you mentioned that. The first day, so the Saturday, is more about the researchers getting together and sort of collaborating, and then the Sunday is more about...
Sorry, the Friday is the research. Okay. The Friday is the research and education day, so that will be mainly academics. So they'll be basically discussing the cutting edge, what's happening in the research fields, and then the Saturday is a general public day, so it'll be more talks from some enthusiasts and some vendors and various other... groups.
Sorry, so I should correct myself. Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday.
Next week, 12th and 13th of September. And we'll post a link to the site that you can go to sign up and register your willingness to join in and see what's going on up there. Thank you, Paul Mignoni, for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Thanks and for bringing these amazing props. Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
And we'll put photos up on our Facebook page and tweet some.
Indeed. Yes, thanks again.
Awesome, thank you.
This is TechnoGaze here on Joy 94.9. We'll be back with more tech news in a few moments. TechnoGaze here on joy.org.au, also known as Joy 94.9.
Yes.
We're all 3D printed up now.
I'm feeling a bit weird after having that head in here.
Yeah, it's not often you have Ned Kelly's head.
So amazing.
Hello.
It's so amazing to see where 3D printing has come. I mean,
it's been so quick too, hasn't it?
It's extraordinary. I mean, I actually remember a couple of years ago first hearing about the RepRap, which is a 3D printer, an open source 3D printer that, you know, you can actually print a new 3D printer from, so it's self-replicating, and they have these kind of generations of printers. But the other day I saw a 3D printer at Officeworks.
Yes.
And I just kind of went, wow.
Game over.
It's over now. This is just a consumer thing. It's gone from this extraordinary technology that only massive manufacturers could use sort of for prototyping, and it costs gazillions of dollars, to a thing you can buy at Officeworks.
Yeah.
It's extraordinary.
And that 3D Labs thing we talked about before is exactly the sort of thing that makes this even easier. So you don't even have to have every home with a 3D printer, although I'm sure that day is not far away.
That's right. Like this peer-to-peer 3D hubs, 3dhubs.com. So I have a 3D printer, you've got something you want to print, we hook up on the internet, we exchange some money or bodily fluids or something.
What is the payment method here? What's going on?
Maybe not. Okay. Well, you know.
Okay. Maybe I'll make you some soup or something.
That's okay. That would do.
But yeah, like getting in touch with people who can help you print things, and making friends with them that way, Mark.
Friend of the station, common on-air presenter here at Joy 94.9.
Calling him Common.
There's nothing common about Dean.
Dean Beck has emailed in with the comment, how come 5 years ago we were being told everyone would have a 3D printer? It didn't happen. True, it hasn't happened in 5 years.
It's happening right now.
Starting to.
You can buy...
Officeworks if you need one.
Well,
my goodness, not that we'd promote one, but...
No.
Or RepRap, make yourself one.
Right.
There is an option for self-replicating printers.
That's right. There are quite a few retailers that are doing that sort of thing. And there are all those businesses that have sprung up about it as well. So there are, you know, places online where you can send in some plans, or you can download some software and make your own plans or whatever and get them sent to you. I think we've covered it on the show as well, where the US Post Office was talking about setting up printers in each of their offices so that you could print goods that way. And Amazon's been talking about doing it too.
And as much as these devices are commonly available, this still a lot of hard work to calibrate, to configure, to get going.
Right.
It's not something like turning on TV.
Yeah, and at this stage it's pretty much if you like plastic, you're in luck, and if you would like something else, well...
You need to spend a little bit more money.
Did I hear it that you can get chocolate stuff for your 3D printer and print yourself some pretty chocolates?
You did hear that, yes.
And that's a real thing?
It is a real thing, yes. Is this the greatest day ever?
I know.
What a time to be alive.
I can imagine something in chocolate and then... make it be in chocolate.
See, if by 3D printing you mean actually taking an entire tube of melted chocolate and just squirting it directly into my face. That's a kind of printing technology, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
Om nom nom nom.
I just went somewhere.
A happy place.
What else is in a happy place, Mark?
Apple.
Shiny new things.
Our appy place.
Yes. Yes, so Apple are coming up in, this week, I think. It's September 9 is the next big event by Apple.
Yes.
And Mr. Cook's going to roll out some goodies for us.
Well, hopefully.
So he says.
It seems to be a significant event, because typically when Apple have a particular product that they, you know, that they're really going to smash the market with, or that they think they're going to smash the market with, they choose a particular venue, and that particular venue has been chosen for this event that's come up on September 9th. And there's been a lot of rumours going around about what might be included in the showing during this event.
Now, everyone's been going, blah, 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 smartwatch, which I think is pretty... Like, no one will be surprised. They'll actually be more surprised now if there is no smartwatch.
That's happened before. You know, we've had, Apple television's coming, Apple television's coming.
I think you're the only true believer in the Apple television.
No, I don't believe in it. Stage. I don't believe in it. It's a furphy.
The other thing, of course, that is definitely locked in, because, of course, we saw it at the last one, is that Yosemite, the new operating system, is on the way. I've been fiddling with it this week. I finally took the plunge. It's all right.
Mm.
It's okay. Everything's all flat. They've given up on, you know...
They've probably done what they did to the iOS interface and just flattened everything out, got rid of the, the
lickability.
I think
what they got rid of. Yes. They used to call all the little shiny buttons. They had to be lickable.
Right. Now, if I offer you my screen, would you lick it anyway?
No, Rainer.
No, I didn't think so.
I might think about it, though, if it looked like a lolly. I'd think about licking it, but I wouldn't actually lick it.
Some of them, I don't know, like they've done a few things. So they've flattened up a bunch of stuff, all the rest of it. iOS 8 is supposed to work really well with it. That's supposed to be very shortly on its way, along with these rumoured new phones. I haven't tried that out yet. but there's supposed to be a lot more tight integration between the phone and your Mac so that you can do things like make calls and hand over playback of songs and stuff.
That feature, the handover feature, is one I'm particularly interested in, to be able to just have that seamless sort of move from one device to the other without really needing to worry about it.
And even though I don't believe in the Apple TV, this is one reason why you would have an Apple television for handover, because you walk in the door listening to your iPod or your iPhone,
yes,
you flick it up to your big TV screen, and suddenly you've got 7 by 7 meters of, I don't know, the Finn Brothers, I guess. Just to pick out an artist at random.
Yeah. I think that there's some good things coming up. But some of the rumours that are involved as well are back on the iPhone as well, the iPhone front. There seems to be movement in terms of sizes. They're making it bigger.
And screen fragmentation. Oh, boy. Yeah. The thing that everyone bags Android out is finally coming to Apple for real.
but the Android people say it's not an issue.
Right, so I guess no problems, right?
Well,
I don't know.
The other point to make about the screen size fragmentation is that iOS development or developers have been encouraged to design their apps in a certain way that would avoid as many issues as possible around how big your screen is.
Are we talking about responsive design?
Well, that's a web term, isn't it?
It might be.
Mm.
You can do other sorts of... It's applications with that though.
It's like flexibility and adaptability, because you can't know what sort of device you're targeting. You may not even be targeting a device that displays visually. You might be targeting that. You might be exporting your data as audio.
Yep, definitely.
Or for Google Glass, or
Yeah. So there's some. The screen size might be a concern, or it'll be interesting to see what they actually do with the screen size and the pixel density, because they want to stick to the Retina name, right? They want to have as many dots per inch as what they need to give it a Retina name.
Unless it's aging like most of us and the resolution goes down.
Now, people who have been using Yosemite claim that there could be some more high def and Retina sort of displays based solely on the fact that there are wallpaper images that are big enough.
Yes.
Which I think sounds legit. Mm-hmm. It's why wouldn't you? But who can say? So that's happening. I guess a few of the nerds will be staying up late like usual. I have exciting things to do the next day, so I personally won't be. But
one thing I've noticed this week as well is some business pages have been talking about a NFC component to the new phone. So the near field
and to the rumored smartwatch as well.
To the watch, yeah.
Yeah, so, which is about damn time, because certainly other platforms have had NFC for a while.
Yeah, and I think one of the key things that have been talked about, and we don't know this for sure yet, but apparently Apple have signed deals with all the big card vendors, so MasterCard, Visa and Amex. And that's pretty much
that's
like
going to be interesting.
Market completion OMG. Right there. You know, if they have signed up deals with all three, they're three very worldwide money providers with presences in every single country around the world or most countries around the world. So,
but this is Apple's style, whereas we've had NFC on lots of mobile phones. I've had NFC now for a year and a half on my phone, and apart from downloading some software every now and then, I haven't really used it, whereas Apple will probably come to market with a practical use that everyone's going to use on a day-to-day basis.
That's kind of what they make their whole bread and butter from for the last million years.
It's the stack, isn't it? It's the hardware, the software, the cloud. Everything is owned by Apple, therefore they can do that and achieve it really well.
Now, speaking of high achievers as well, Apple is not the only one making songs and dances this month with new products, are they?
No. So Samsung have come out with a few new products.
So they had an event last week called Samsung Unpacked, which was so exciting for them that they had to have it in three different venues at once. And it was live streamed and all that stuff.
Yeah, very Samsung-esque, I guess. They want to sort of show that they're a worldwide company and have a presence everywhere.
They do that very well. And they came out with the new Galaxy Note 4, the Galaxy Note Edge with the curved display that we've talked about. Oh. You know, the little sort of edgy bit where, if you had a whole stack of them in a row, you could probably read some messages off the sides or something, I suppose.
Do some banner advertising
It's like a book spine. It seriously is.
Mm.
Just wait and see how many websites come up with banner ads that fit on that side screen. All of them. The Gear S, which is a you know a smartwatch, which DJ was actually wearing.
That was the wraparound one, was it? The Gear S?
Yes, yep. And he was wearing that during the presentation, and you know he was wearing it so low on his wrist that I thought there's no way he would normally wear his watch that low. Like it was practically hanging off his hand. But how best to show it off on stage, right?
Yeah.
But it looked pretty amazing, and a new exciting little thingy that goes on your head.
Yes.
An Oculus VR.
That's right. An Oculus VR handset that or headset
yes.
that you slot your Galaxy Note into.
Oh, wow.
And the Note acts as the screen.
Oh, okay. Cool. That's an interesting sort of connection of devices. Like, in order to give yourself a VR device,
right.
you use something that you've already got instead of buying a whole new one.
Remember, Google had that cardboard thing. Where yep. it was like print your own cardboard thing and just shove the screen in that.
Seemed a bit hokey, but hey.
But now Samsung's made a real one.
Nice.
With an unspecified price point and release date, but even so.
Right.
It's just a modular device, really. You snap the screen in and snap it out.
Right, but I mean, that sounds pretty good, right? You'd think that the screen would be one of the more expensive components yes. of that. So why not just, I mean, you're probably not looking at your phone if you're watching, you know,
what, if you're fully immersed in something, you can hold your phone out in your virtual reality? You'd have a virtual phone.
Right.
Exactly, yeah.
I guess. I mean, oh, God, you could do that, couldn't you?
Mm.
All I can think about is, you know, Johnny Mnemonic and all that other sorts of stuff and Virtuosity, like all of those trashy films in the 90s that were talking about, oh, we're going to cyberspace, oh, we're going to use a headset. Well, now it's finally here.
Yeah, until I get a plug in the back of my neck, a la Matrix style.
Yes.
I don't want 3D VR.
I got to say, because I'm long-sighted, so I need to wear a prescription to be able to see anything closer than about a foot at the moment, and I'm not looking forward to the idea of having something that close to my face all the time anyway.
Could it be adjusted to refocus?
It would have to be adjusted for people in different sight capabilities.
Yeah.
I can't see it working otherwise.
Indeed.
I'm waiting for the day, actually, when that does happen, you can get rid of your glasses, because then you'll just have the VR device and you won't need glasses.
Oh, you'll get square eyes. Maybe.
What is square eyes? Is that a...
It never happened. I watched a lot of TV as a kid.
It's a 1950s thing, I think.
My pupils are still the same.
They're still round.
Oval shape, yeah.
Oval. Circular.
Oval? What?
Hopefully circular.
I'm having a flashback to some, I think, TDK advertisement that did have kind of weird cartoony looking people with square eyes.
Yes.
They were that was quite creepy.
Portrayed as a positive.
Was it 4:3 or widescreen format?
I think they were straight up square, but of course in those days it must have been 4:3.
Obviously, yeah.
Ah, oh, geez. You're listening to Technogaze, where we're covering some of the latest in gadgets, four eyes, nerdiness, square eyes. Yeah, I should say. I shouldn't say
widescreen. Widescreen eyes.
I'm one of the actual. I'm the outer liar here. I don't wear glasses, whereas everyone else does here in the studio. Oh no, wait, Donna, are you a glass wearer? As in traditional
optical,
glasses,
not Google.
Not at the moment.
Speaking of Google Glass, we'll be talking about that in a few moments, as well as Grindr. A couple of creepy things to be gracing us with the presence of themselves on the news feeds this week. So do stay tuned. You're listening to Technogaze on Joy 94.9.
Technogaze.
Joy.
94.9. This is Technogaze.
It was silence.
I felt like I needed to finish that word off. It's just like it just rolls off the tongue. Joy
94.9.
Sure does. Joy.org.au.
Can't have joy on your own.
joy.org.au/listen live.
Yes, if
that's
you want
right.
to check us out anytime, anywhere, during anywhere in the world, actually.
You might even be there right now.
Yep. And we do know we have a following in LA. Hello, LA.
Hello, LA.
Hello, LA. What?
Renee.
And the people who are listening later on the podcast, hello to you too.
Yes.
Oh, all over the world.
Jim Hyde. Hello, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
He's a fellow presenter here at Joy 94.9.
He sure is on Is Nothing Sacred on Mondays.
He's just wanted to point out that we had Ned Kelly's head, or at least a 3D printed version of it, in the studio earlier, and he has signed the exhumation.
The exhumation order.
Order. Oh, right.
So that's how we have Ned Kelly's head, is that his remains, or maybe...
No. The head came from the death mask before.
Right. So the death mask was what the model was from.
But I believe his body was exhumed and we've
right,
got...
Right, from Pentridge.
Yeah, so we've got...
Which
we've
is
got
mostly
history.
Apartments now, isn't it?
Yeah, we've got closed history here. You know, Ned Kelly's head, Jim, who's on Joy,
yep.
signed the exhumation order.
It's a 360
weird.
Right there.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Now, you don't get this on any other radio station, do you?
No. Very diverse here at Joy 94.9. Okay, Glass, let's get creepy.
Indeedy.
So this new product called Shore. Well, it's not a new product as such. It was actually just a promo video, just a teaser, in fact.
Probably proof of concept. Look what we can do with technology.
Yeah, we're talking about Google Glass, so the thing, the Google product where you can buy it now, actually, and it's a set of glasses, and it's got a little screen that you see in the corner of your eye. The idea of this particular application was to monitor who's in front of you and start coming up with stats about what it sees, in particular around people. So you've got a person's face in front of you. You can start doing estimations on, you know, what gender the person is.
Yes. How they're feeling.
It can do facial recognition.
Yep. And the other thing as well, so it's not itself new, but the thing that's creepy or slightly creepy about this is that it's on Google Glass, which is everyone's favourite hobby horse for talking about the always-on connected
and the very portable device.
Yes.
Because, you know, you could do all of this with a webcam today. That's the technology there. It's not new technology. It's the fact that it's portable. You can walk into a room, suddenly turn it on and have these features.
That's right. So I don't have to be pointing my camera at Donna's face right now. I could, like, you don't know that I'm not playing Pong.
Because you are wearing glasses right now, and how would I know that they're not magic glasses that are telling
glass,
you
things
and figuring stuff out about me and, you know, things.
I detect you like G&Ts.
Oh, you might know that through other sources of data, though, Raina.
Possibly from the interwebs. I suspect your Twitter feed might be a giveaway
on that
one.
As I watched that video, and there's this whole sort of bit about it going, hey, we can do gender recognition. And I was looking, I thought, well, that is very obviously a woman that you're looking at right now. I wonder what its gender recognition is like for people more in the gender
diverse
spectrum, and what kind of algorithm it's using for that as part A. And then part B, why are you doing this? What is the actual application of this? And that poses even more creepy questions.
Well, that's the thing. So most of us as people are able to look at somebody and sort of get a rough idea of how they're feeling or, you know, bits and pieces like that. You know, there are lots of gender sort of indicators that suggest to us that, you know, someone might be or not you know, a certain age or a certain gender or whatever. Right. But if you're a machine, you don't know that.
If you're a machine, you generally have no idea.
And if you're a machine and you want to look at lots of people, like, say, for example, I went through customs on a very busy night recently. It took ages. And I'm sure you can imagine there are a lot of grumpy people there. And, you know, like maybe you've got a machine that is, I don't know, maybe profiling people who look like they might be feeling a little antsy about, you know, maybe they're carrying a few meat products or fish products that they shouldn't have in their bag or something worse. I don't know, some sort of non-quarantinable thing.
I'm just going to that having fish products in your bag and how horrible and smelly and nasty that would be. Sorry, it's completely
hopefully shrink wrapped. So this particular product, it was actually by a German company, and there's a YouTube clip that they've put out to illustrate what its supposed features will be.
Yes,
I guess they're trying to get some interest, perhaps some investors,
maybe.
Which, you know, hey, all power to them, but. It does seem a bit creepy, and it does seem a bit presumptuous as well.
Now, they have pointed out in the video and some of the releases and stuff, don't worry, we're not putting it on the cloud. Okay, well, they're not putting it on the cloud, if I license that technology for my nefarious purposes and put all of your faces and moods on the cloud.
Exactly, where does it end up?
Whoa, what are we going to do?
But yeah, some interesting stuff there. I mean, I like the fact that it could, you know, look at blink rate of the person in front of you and try to, you know, make determinations from that. Those types of things that a human perhaps may not be able to, unless well-trained human.
I also wonder
if
there are some positive applications. So for people who do have difficulty reading facial expressions and getting information, may be able to actually have a feed saying, hey, this person that you're interacting with is actually not responding well, and that could be useful.
That is not an uncommon issue for people who have autism, is to not necessarily pick up on people's moods, or maybe they're just not, you know, they're not maybe picking it up from the tone that you use or anything like that as well. So if you've got something to help you do that, I think that's a really beneficial thing.
And I can imagine an emergency help service like 000, once it's video enabled, having a look at the person calling and saying, oh, this person is obviously in distress, you know, that type of thing.
Now on to other potential creepiness. Well, actually, it is creepy.
Very creepy.
Grindr.
Oh, super creepy.
So,
well,
not
something
the app
specific.
In general. Well, yeah, sometimes the app in general is pretty creepy as well. But this week, and I think we started we mentioned it briefly last week
because I think both of us got a message on Grindr saying, oh, somebody's looked at your profile and has determined where you are based on this
exact location
based on this bug in Grindr.
That is right. And then a listener texted in to say, hey, have you heard about this as well?
Yeah.
So, and as part of that message, there was a link to a website where, at the time I didn't look at it, but I've looked at it subsequently, where you could actually go in, choose an area on a map. So just like, you know, any of the mapping applications, zoom in, say, show me all the users, and would come up with the photos, although they were Vaselined out. But if you had your phone next to you and the photo on the screen, you could say, yep, that's that individual.
Hmm.
And you literally could see them plotted on the
on
map.
A map.
Right, which is, I mean, we all know that Grindr and other apps like that tell you that somebody is nearby, but they never tell you exactly where.
Exactly.
For safety reasons and other sorts of privacy reasons
as well.
I think
it's really, I mean, this is just horrible, this stuff. What I think's kind of interesting here is Grindr's response, that they put out a post about this and have sort of said that they're taking proactive measures to keep users safe in territories with a history of violence against the gay community. And what they're doing for users in countries like Russia, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Nigeria, Liberia, Sudan and Zimbabwe is setting this to off by default. But that kind of makes me wonder is, actually, shouldn't it be off by default for everyone?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like, oh, countries where there's a history of this going on. Isn't that pretty much everyone?
Yeah, this is what I find really disturbing. As a Grindr user myself, I'm self-admitting this. And I know some people are not particularly, you know,
concerned
about their potential location. But the fact that they have decided to, well, over the course of this week, actually, I noticed that they turned location off for everyone, right? So they must have had a bit of a panic mode. By the way, we've actually put a request out to Grindr to have a conversation with us. We'd like to talk to them, if possible, to discuss this particular issue. But the response from them has been, really just responding to the press around it. So there's been a fair bit of press around it saying, oh, what about all the people in countries where GLBTI people are persecuted?
Yep.
What about the rest of us as well? Like, that's the headline. What about me, who could potentially have a stalker down the road who, has found where I live and now knows exactly when I'm where?
Now, I guess there's one thing about driving around in your car if you're a stalker and saying, okay, roughly I know the 300-metre circle where this individual is, but it's very, very different to see on a map at the back of a long block that's where that individual is.
Or, I mean, as well, it's not just where are they now, but where are they every Tuesday at a certain time?
Yes, exactly.
Or something, for example. That's creepy.
And this is actually a real problem. It's not a kind of hypothetical creepy problem. There's an organisation here in Victoria called DVRCV, or the Domestic Violence Resource Centre, and they have a program called Smart Safe, and that's all about helping women use technology more effectively to prevent them being stalked technologically by their ex-partners for very real, you know, against some very real threats. And so this sort of the Grindr has come out of a place of that we want to connect online for fun, and it's all very positive, but then there's this whole kind of flip side where, well, the same technologies are being used in really kind of nasty ways, and a lot of people aren't necessarily aware of how to protect themselves from it. So I think that question's really interesting about, should these kinds of location-aware things be on by default?
Yeah.
For some groups of people, it's not a problem and it's the whole reason they have it. But for others who perhaps don't have control over those devices or don't have the skills and understanding of what's going on, it can be really dangerous.
It can be. It is really hard sometimes, unless you know where to look, to turn those things off.
Yeah, really hard. I mean, and some of them make a point of making it harder to, you know, tweak your privacy settings.
And Grindr's immediate response to this was, you can turn the location indicator off, and that will remove the ability for people to stalk you through that mapping app that Michael, you mentioned earlier. But it's still a concern. Like, by default, it's on. You know, if you don't know to think about it, like if you've been maybe not listening to Technogaze for the last couple of weeks and you don't know about the issue, then you may not be aware that someone could be doing this. And then all that needs to happen is something needs to go wrong at a particular point in time. Maybe someone goes out and finds them and...
Yeah, or even understanding the problem. It's like, oh, so people know where I am, big deal. Well, okay, that's nice to say, but...
You know, it really is one thing to talk about like that, but to look at it on the map and to see individuals there, that's the really scary bit.
And I guess it's a kind of privilege, isn't it, to be able to go, hey, this doesn't matter to me, therefore it shouldn't matter to you.
Mm.
Yeah.
This is TechnoGaze here on Joy 94.9, where we're covering some of the latest in gay and lesbian technology news this week.
Mm.
Technology, gadgets, consumer electronics. We'll be back with a wrap-up of the show in just a few moments.
TechnoGaze
here on Joy 94.9.
Is that a new station now, IT?
Jeez. I'm not doing well today. My tongue's not quite in gear. I'm afraid. I'm sorry about that.
Just as well, the show's nearly over then, Mark. You can untangle it once we're finished.
Yes. Now, luggage. Have you ever been worried about baggage handlers and how they might be getting into your luggage without you knowing?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah? No?
Yes.
Travelers? Yes?
Actually, and I've been worried the way they just throw the bags around.
Mm.
Get them wet.
Well, there's some new technology that is basically a computer that's built into the suitcase itself. It can detect G-force movement, temperature, and humidity, and can tell if it's if the bag has been thrown around.
And what does it do with that information?
I think it's for you.
It probably tells you, actually.
Does it probably
send
you text messages or something, which you can't get while you're in the air. So when you land, you get this story about your bag being through all of this kind of turgid journey.
You travelled north, your bag travelled south.
But no, you can actually use your wireless devices in Australia now on a plane as well.
On
certain airlines, not some of them. Not the orange one.
Mm.
So now people will steal my luggage because all the tech in it are on it.
I'm sure that won't look even slightly dodgy on the X-ray either.
Oh, yes.
Look at all these things.
Mm. That's all we have time for today. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you'd like to catch up on previous episodes or peruse through our previous shows, you can do so by jumping onto our website, joy.org.au/technogaze. Coming up next is Pete Dillon with Cravings after a Joy News Bulletin with Tim Lennox. And, thank you for coming in, Michael.
Thank you, Captain.
Number one. thank you, Raina, for joining us here as well.
Ship's janitor.
And Donna, what's your role today?
I think I might be the holodeck computer.
Ah, thank you, Donna. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you next week.
Bye.
TechnoGaze on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.